Market Watch is proudly brought to you by Top Sport, home of the Top Sport betting multi. Gamble responsibly. Call 1800 858 858. G'day everyone. We have week three of the Rugby League World Cup. It is the Market Watch podcast. It's proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. As mentioned, the final weekend. But what is also happening, we've got a huge weekend. The Golden Eagle, apparently Derby Day. Is that still on? I heard it was. But anyway, Tristan might be able to tell us otherwise. And then, of course, running into a Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. So lots to talk about in the world of rugby league and racing. We do that with the usual suspects. I'm talking about Tristan Merlihan, the number one seed up there at Top Sport, and our man Jerry Condon from readingtheplay.com.au. How are you, gentlemen?
Yeah, very good, Jimmy. Very good. And yes, I do believe the spring is still racing in Victoria at the moment. So yeah, we have got a big day at Flemington as well. And yes, a little bit of Sydney-New South Wales rivalry has been good over the last couple of weeks. But yeah, hopefully the weather holds up. But it seems like, yeah, big weekend of racing. Got two World Cups, as you say. And yeah, it's just a great time. And what we've also got, we've got the supercars up here on the Gold Coast, which is positioned at a very awkward time for Top Sport management, where we've got to go out and show our face in between Derby Day and Melbourne Cup Day. So that's going to be an interesting Monday morning.
Yes, I could imagine you amongst all those rev heads and the V8 crew, Tristan, kicking back. You'll probably have the Top Sports singlet on and a couple of stubbies on the side. You wouldn't believe it was Derby Day, would you? There's a $10 million race in Sydney. Who would have thought? Yeah, gee, things have changed a little bit, haven't they? But some absolutely amazing racing with both meetings in Sydney and Melbourne this weekend. Leads us into a race on Tuesday that normally gets a bit of publicity and a lot of focus, and there might be an odd social lunch or two around Australia on Tuesday, and the World Cup in the background, all happening there, both cricket and rugby league. And we have a final week three and lead us into some very interesting quarterfinals. So we've got a little bit to get through. And Jimmy, I did get a text message this morning from the O'Shea stable just asking me to mention to you that you not mention a certain runner of theirs that may be running this weekend. But you did come up with the goods with Lebanon. I was very keen to be opposing you there, as was Tristan, but you didn't even need the plus 3.5. They absolutely whacked them. So a nice collect for you there. And Tristan and I are in the doghouse.
Might go back to the well on that one as well a little bit later on when it comes to our best bet over the course of the weekend. Just on that, John O'Shea, I actually did make some inquiries around Zoo Tiger and why wasn't it running. It said it had been scratched. So I think the stable got word of a little bit of interest from me. So you can imagine how keen John was to do, and the ownership group too, by the way.
I think the message was something along the lines of that's 2 weeks in a row that you've mentioned Prime Stable hopes that 2 weeks in a row didn't run on the Saturday, Jimmy.
Yes, something like that. Better keep it quiet this week, John. Remember, if you are enjoying the podcast, make sure you're subscribing, and you can do that by Spotify, Apple. We're on YouTube as well. We're on Megaphone. We've changed our platform, so I don't know if that's had an impact on. You can still get it across those other platforms. We're still delivering there as well. So make sure you're checking in with that one. Yes, well done. Speaking of checking, Michael Checker and Lebanon, we got a little bit of a collect there. As a result of that, we get a collect in lunch bets. So based on that, you better give us an update. Charity bank balance for the great Pass It On Clothing, Tristan.
Yeah, it certainly started ticking on very nicely. We're up over the $1,000 mark. We're up to 1,062 with your winning selection there on Lebanon. And Jared and I are both chucking in our $50 lunch taxes. So all sorted. $1,062 in the kitty. So hopefully we can cash a few over the next week or so.
Okay, so I'm just looking at the scoreboard now, the lunch scoreboard, and I am 16 lunches up on you, Tristan, 9 up on you, Jared. So I just wonder how that plays out over the course of, gee, you know what, it's worth coming up for a week up to the Gold Coast and Brisbane, isn't it? You know, just can we roll that into dinner? Is there any chance we could roll it into dinner at different stages?
Well, I think we could, Jimmy. We could start with lunch and you could pick up the tab with last year's results, and then we might then roll into dinner and, you know, Tristan and I might shout back.
Just breaking up a little bit there on that occasion. why don't we get into the games coming up week three? Now, this is the interesting part, isn't it, boys? Because we spoke about week three in week one, saying, okay, how does the competition play out for those teams that competitive, and then, hey, we're over in England and aren't we having a good time? So that's the key. You got to find the team over there that has been satisfied with past results over the 2 weeks and maybe just clocking off going into this last game. They look like a heap of lopsided games associated with this round as well, Tristan. You better run through some of the markets for some of the more high profile. I don't know about Ireland's chances against New Zealand starting on Saturday morning our time.
No, and I think to add another layer of complexity, trying to set these markets is the Ireland rugby league team may have been watching the cricket team yesterday when they got the big result over the English. So there might be a couple of little hangovers there. And the Irish rugby league team are 43.5-point underdogs against New Zealand. So New Zealand's been well backed in that game. We've got a lot of matches here where the favourites are less than $1.01. So as you say, Jimmy, there is a lot of difficulty in setting these prices. The New Zealand game has already moved 2 points, 41.5 out to 43.5. England are 65.5-point favourites against Greece. Fiji, 40.5-point favourites against Scotland. That line's already moved out 2 points as well. And then the Aussies. This has been the only game that's gone the other way. We opened this market at 72.5 and it's down to 71.5. So it's seen a little bit of support for Italy. Obviously, Italy were impressive there in week one against Scotland, but this is a significant step up in class. Lebanon, 41.5, and Samoa. This is the most competitive game of this round so far in the match we got markets on, with the favourites a very juicy $1.03 for Samoa. So, and we have seen a little bit of support at the plus there, 30.5 down to 27.5. So it has been a push for France there at the plus.
I guess, Jimmy, if we look back at some of those results from last week, I was on Australia, not to cover the total at 78 points, and we see that Addo Carr try in the 79th minute, the little flick back, and I just about fell off the chair. An amazing scoreline, but you know, Australia very comfortable winners, New Zealand very comfortable winners. Lebanon put 32 points through Ireland. I mean, if that's a little bit of a lead, if Lebanon can put 32 through Ireland, I'm not sure that New Zealand with Hughes and Hargraves in their lineup this week are going to have too much trouble covering 43.5 if they're fair dinkum. Tonga did the job. Samoa bounced back. Very big result over Greece. Greece clearly, like Jamaica, just making up the numbers. Papua New Guinea, gee, they've been very good and are really looking forward to not only their game this week, but also them then in the obvious quarterfinal lineup. So very tricky this week because we've got lines anywhere as touched on by Tristan from, 27.5 right out to something in the 70s. So trying to wage your way through those that really are serious about this week and those that are just making up the numbers. And I would suggest that it's very important that you look at the late team lineups. Now, New Zealand play first up starting this week, and looking at their lineup that was named overnight, we've got Hughes playing at halfback, we've got Hargraves coming off the bench. It is a very strong New Zealand lineup. So I thought they were probably the best way to play this week. I'm sure England are just going through the motions and they'll dust up Greece. Fiji will probably do something similar to Scotland, Australia something similar to Italy. Lebanon, I'm sure, have a walkthrough against Jamaica. The last three games, a little bit bit more interest. Tonga, Cook Islands, I'm sure Tonga win. I've been a little bit disappointed with where Tonga have been over the last couple of weeks, Jimmy, but I'm sure that they're trying to build toward that quarterfinal matchup, which will be against Samoa. Just a cracking game there. Samoa should beat France. If they're half serious and a little bit of the form that we saw last week, I thought that line might end up being questioned. And then Papua New Guinea and Wales, a nice way to round out the final game of week three. And that then leads us into what should be some quite very interesting quarterfinals that lead to semifinals that will be, fantastic.
Yeah, we'll get onto those quarterfinals next week, but you can sort of see them taking shape now. Just going back to Tonga, Taumalolo will play his first game this week. So that's going to be key to get just gets, you know, I'm sure he's training, but getting the miles into the legs, and just interesting to see how long Christian Wolf will play him in that game, because he's going to be like, they're going to have the hard run in, because as you say, because of that huge loss from Samoa. So they're going to have to take on Samoa before advancing to the semifinal, if indeed they do. So that's the challenge around that one. Michael Maguire's got an issue in that left centre position. I think Britt Nicore is the one that's playing now after Marata Niokore and Chance Nickel-Cookstar. So he's tweaking that a little bit. He's got some injury concerns around Moses Leota. He's got Jerome Hughes back, which is huge. Jared Warrior-Hargreaves. The thing about Warrior-Hargreaves, which is really interesting, and I'll tell you what, I reckon Jesse Bromwich is a little bit lucky that Moses Leota is out, because he'd have been under enormous pressure to retain his spot, the New Zealand skipper. But it allows him to play Nelson Asifa-Solomona on an edge. And it's, you know, we saw what Nelson did back end of the season for Melbourne when he was able to play on an edge. You know, involvement is okay, but so destructive with what he can do. And that's just going to be impossible for these Minnow Nations to be able to handle him. I don't want to be disparaging to your Island Wolfhounds, Tristan, but they've never seen anything like Big Nelson coming at them. The other one of interest, just getting to these quarterfinals, and you mentioned it. I'm looking at the group standings, and so Australia and New Zealand look like they're going to be going head to head in that semi final. But before that, Australia will have Lebanon, I think. So we think Lebanon will leapfrog Ireland, still on second spot there in Group C, Ireland, but Lebanon will go past them as well. The rest of it is pretty straightforward. PNG's been really good. Cook Islands have been competitive, but they've got that tough one against Tonga. And Group A is really straightforward. The fact that England and Samoa will go through, notwithstanding the fact that, as you say, France has been really competitive. What about a market, overall market, Tristan? And has there been any change over the course of the week two results?
We've just seen the Aussies tighten up a little bit. They were $1.50. They're into $1.45. New Zealand, $4.80, a clear second favourite. England at $6. So they've obviously been the biggest mover, but that was after their round one victory. Tonga 16 and Samoa 26, and it gets pretty wide after that. So $1.45 Australia, $4.80 New Zealand, and $6 England. Look the three there. But as you say, with Tamalolo back for Tonga, you'd expect a significant uplift there. And Samoa at $26. They've been the two biggest drifters. So as you said at the outset of the tournament, Jimmy, you've got to time your run in these sort of events. So whether those two sides can improve themselves enough to make themselves competitive with those top three, we'll know pretty shortly when we get out to the knockout phases.
And Jimmy, just recapping for our listeners. So we have Group A and Group D on one side of the draw. Yep. We have Group B and Group C on the other side of the draw. So what I think that then leads us to in the quarterfinal matchup is that England will come through as the top seed and play PNG, who are the seed number two. Tonga will end up coming through as the top seed on the other side against Samoa.
Yep.
And then we have Australia likely up against Lebanon and New Zealand up against Fiji. I think that sets up for some very good quarterfinals. I think on the Australia-New Zealand side, we expect that both of those win through and then match up in the semi-final, which we've all been looking at for many months. I think the other side is very interesting because England-PNG, I'll be very interested in what the line comes up there next week when we look at that game, because PNG have been performing and growing week by week. I'm not yet convinced that England are as good as some of their results or some of the English media think that they might be. And then we have Tonga and Samoa. Samoa, incredibly disappointing week one, aimed up again last week, but against no opponent. They'll come through and play, obviously, Tonga, and that will just be a clash of the ages. And the island interest, the crowd interest, the atmosphere in that game will just be, I think, one of the highlights of the last couple of weeks.
And it's interesting what you say with crowds and all that. It's great to get the insight of Steve Mascord, who's over there covering the tournament for the BBC, who's the renowned international journalist. Heavy ticket discounting just prior to games is commonplace in English rugby league. That, in fact, even for a Challenge Cup, he said people will wait 24 hours out before the event and then they'll buy their ticket. They haven't been doing it, the Rugby League World Cup, on these occasions. They've taken the games to bigger stadiums. So the crowds don't look great, but already they've sold £1 million more than they did in 2013. And they've outstripped what the tournament earned in 2017. Now, that might be a function of foreign exchange and all that sort of stuff. However, I'm looking at it thinking, oh, it's a little bit disappointing, the crowds, but there are reasons for that. And in actual fact, the Rugby League World Cup, which is where the IRL get all their funding, basically, has actually been a success thus far. And I would imagine that they start going into these quarterfinals, semifinals, where already ticket sales have been excellent. So it's a good... it's a fillip for the tournament. And I think I asked Steve about the lopsided nature of some of the results, and he said miserabilists, who are the ones who are decrying the results, would be interested to know that the score that New Zealand were looking to eclipse their highest ever winning margin against Jamaica when Ben Jones-Bishop scored that try, they missed out on that, was actually a game in 1999 v Tonga. So here we are 23 years later, and Tonga is almost a tier one nation. Now, there's lots of other things that go into that, but I thought that was an interesting part of it, Jared.
And that was the point I wanted to touch on too, Jimmy. I agree totally. Yes, we're going to see some lopsided results, but we need to have this type of international competition on a regular basis. And if we look at the development at an international level over the last 8 years, across the last couple of World Cups and or Four Nations, we now see that we have Tonga and Samoa, as you suggest, competing at a tier one level or certainly having that massive following, and now having so many of their players wanting to represent them at that level. All of a sudden, Lebanon certainly been very competitive, as have Ireland to a degree, as have France are growing back. And then we look at the development of the Cook Islands and Papua New Guinea. I mean, I think for what the World Cup needs to represent and the growth of the game, I think it's been a fantastic tournament, and we're going to see those seeds out of this tournament grow into what unfolds with international football in so many of those different countries over the next 3 to 5 years.
The one question mark on that, and this is the concern for all people, is what does the international calendar look like moving forward? No one has a clue. The NRL just came out and said, international weekend, it's out. So we're going back to 3 state of origins on a Wednesday night. So that's the concern on that. Back to the point you made about PNG, Edwin Aipape and Roderick Tai, when you've got NRL clubs start going, well, hang on a minute, who are these guys? These guys look NRL class. That's when you know that you've got some of these smaller nations that are, and look, PNG's been doing it for a long time, but they're going to be supplying some players into the National Rugby League. All right, Jared, you better give us your best for the weekend, please.
Well, a difficult week, Jimmy, but I thought that the first game was the one to play. That was New Zealand at the Miners, 43.5, $1.80 with Top Sport at the moment. I just thought, given how Ireland fell away last week and were leaking points against a very big physical New Zealand side, and with Hughes pointing them around the park, I thought 43.5 looked way too low.
All right, I'm going to go back to the well, as I suggested. Lebanon, Adam Dwayne will be back playing this game. So they're very short against Jamaica. Jamaica strikes me as one of those sides. Hey, we scored a try against New Zealand. Our tournament is done. There you go. Uh-oh. 41.5. You can still get the $1.87. So I would suggest that Lebanon very keen to take some form into that big quarterfinal that they'll have. How primed will Michael Checker have that Lebanon side? I hope they don't lose sight of Jamaica looking at Australia, but they'll be all pumped up. So that's my best for this week. Lebanon minus 41.5 against Jamaica. You got one for us, Tristan?
Not going to like this, Jimmy, but I'm exactly the same as you there. I think Lebanon are going to put a number on Jamaica as well. I think you've got the absolute right wavelength there. I think I think they'll be too good. But in the interest of keeping things a little bit different, I'm going to actually go France plus the start against Samoa. I'm going to take the plus 27.5 about France. I think they're going to be very, very competitive in this game. I think they've been a much improved outfit. And, I think plus 27.5, they're going to be right in there.
Just as I was listening to you then, I wrote down France plus 27 and a half because I don't mind that. This is a real concern, Tristan. You and I are agreeing on things. But
yeah, I think we'll just put a line through that game now.
Yeah, France may not make it to the game. But anyway, the little sprinkling of the Trent Robinson magic across that as the director of rugby over there with the France Rugby League, Laurent Frasenou is an impressive coach, and he's also been... he's been seconded over to St. Helens. He's going to be an assistant coach at St. Helens next year. So that's exciting from a French rugby league point of view.
And Jimmy, just on France, a lot of people would probably, a lot of rugby league followers listening to the podcast will be looking at this World Cup and saying, well, why aren't France maybe stronger than where we thought they might have been, given that they have two teams playing in the English Super League? What hasn't got a lot of coverage is that they have their three best players out of this tournament with injury. Now, had they been there, I certainly think they would have performed even better than they have to date. The key with this game is, and I'm sure with Robinson there, that's where the focus will be. It's our last game. Let's go out with a really good effort. We're not here for a holiday. Let's have the party after the game. And I agree with you both. I think 27 and a half takes them a long way into this game because I think Samoa are very much up and down and off winning comfortably last week. The media focus is off them. The pressure is off Matt Parrish this week. I'm sure they're just going around for some fun this week. And that's a bit of a worry against a French team that I think want to compete.
Yeah, and then the other thing about it is too, they've got the World Cup over there in 2025. So they want to be, you know, making some positive strides forward on that one. The other thing about it is, yes, Toulouse Olympic were in the Super League, but I think they won three or four games. They got relegated. So, like, you know, that gives you a... And there were eight players from Toulouse. I think there were 12 or 13 from Catalan. And here's the problem. I'm trying to think of the big front rower's name who's a, looks like a quality player. Well, Leeds by him. And that's, you just can't compete with those, the big money from the big clubs. So that's another one of the failings of the system over there. I guess it happens here in the NRL as well. All right. I believe there's some horse racing this weekend. I was listening to an advert on SEN the other day, and they're talking about Golden Eagle, and they said, oh, yes, and it's Derby Day at Flemington. I'm like, that's right, it is too. I knew there was something else on. So there you go. Tristan, I'd imagine there's enormous interest across both Flemington on Saturday and Tuesday and, of course, Rosehill Gardens on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Derby Day is always my favourite race day of the year with so many high-quality events in the Derby itself. The Toppies Sharp and Smart is the favourite. Well, was the favourite. It was $3.70, but Berkeley Square now is at $3.60. It's just firmed up. I think it looks like those two are going to be very, very difficult to beat. Although it looks a pretty even race. You got Mr. Maestro at $6.50 as well as Pericles at $8. So high-quality event in the Derby itself. The Coolmore Stud, though, that looks an absolute beauty. Really wide open field in secret. It's $3.70. It's been in from $3.90. So that one looks a good race. Cool and Gatter obviously scratched from the Manicato there last weekend. It now goes to the Coolmore at $7.50. I really thought it was a big chance there in the Manicato. So it'll be interesting just to see, where that horse is positioned. Because if it's at its peak, I think it's going to be a really good chance there at $7.50. And obviously, as you say, Jimmy, at Rose Hill, we have got the Golden Eagle, where it's worth a lot of money. And it seems like you can change the rules whenever you want in New South Wales with how many horses run and otherwise in the race. So Light Infantry, the $4.20 favourite, Chain of Lightning, $4.80, and In the Congo at $10. So, I cannot wait for this weekend. Tuesday, we've obviously got Cup Day. Thursday, Oaks Day. So it's a massive week coming up.
Jimmy, did you happen to mention Coolangatta last week?
Did I mention Coolangatta? Coolangatta Gold. I know Carla Papak won Coolangatta Gold.
Coolangatta in the lead up to the Manicato, and then was scratched. But anyway, let's start in Sydney. And yes, you're right, Tristan. Did they have rules around racing and field size and barrier draws and benchmark ratings? But anyway, this a $10 million race in Sydney to compete with Derby Day. Well, what it has brought out here is the number 12, Light Infantry. If you look at its ratings in its last few runs and the opponents it was against in France at a Group 1 level, my goodness, it shouldn't be $4.20. The big question mark is that it's here, it's first up, it's now with Mara and Eustace. Sirian Mara's been on and off planes, heading in and out of Sydney over the last couple of weeks, watching its work at Canterbury. If it runs up to anything near, I would suggest, 80 to 90% of its best, it just wins. That's the question mark. $4.20 looks a great price to find out. If we go to Melbourne, well, you know, I'm with you, Tristan. I grew up as a young boy just absolutely loving this meeting. The Coolmore Stud Stakes, 1,200 down the straight. Gee, this has been the making of some very good stallions over the years. Looks a cracking race and very hard to split many of them. I mean, in secret, last five starts, it's had 3 wins and 2 seconds, and James Cummings is absolutely flying with his preparation at the moment. I thought the 8 for Annabelle Neesham Economics, which has scratched at the barrier when very heavily backed a couple of weeks ago at Caulfield, might be competitive in that race. We then go to the Derby. Gee, the form does look around Smart and Sharp and Berkeley Square. I'm with the Rogerson horse. I just thought it was 3 wide. Bowman didn't panic last week. Gee, it was strong late through the line. They come out of 2 very different form lines. For mine, that looked like a 7-day backup into a Derby and the right horse to be with. And then we go to the Empire Rose Stakes, and there's been a couple of scratchings this morning, Tristan, that really changes that market, with Chris Waller taking the 10 and the 11, which was Hinged, and Fangirl out to save them for Sydney, which means that La Critique, which is number 14, the New Zealand Group 1 winner last start at Matamata, has James McDonald here now into a very warm position at $2.40. It does look the one to beat, but gee, I thought number 16, She's Lickety Split. She gets into this race because of age and conditions at 49 kilos. So she's got a 7.5 kilo advantage off the favourite. I would have thought I'd rather be around $6.50 each way, She's Lickety Split, than maybe the favourite. But looking for a bet, I came back to Sydney. I thought Rose Hill, race 6, number 15, Honey Creeper, again for James Cummings, steps out to 2,000, third up, absolutely flying last start late. She's got a very good record at winning at 2,000, around a $6, $6.50 mark at the moment. Let's have my straightforward staking plan of $100 to win on race 6, number 15, Honey Creeper.
All right. What price are we getting for that, Tristan?
$6 it is at the moment. So Honey Creeper, race 6, number 15 at the $6.
Okay. Can I ask you this question, gentlemen? And you're better placed than I to answer it. Huey Bowman jumps off Sharp and Smart, that's running in a Derby. I reckon Huey's won the Derby at least 3 times as a jockey to stay in Sydney. We've got Frankie Dettori and Jamie Spencer coming as the international jockeys. I know James McDonald has gone down to Melbourne, but Jamie Carr has come up to Sydney as well. The impact of that race is, you know, found in, you know, forget about where the horses are running. What about where the jocks are riding?
100%, Jimmy. I mean, if you got $10 million first prize and you happen to lob first, second or third, 10% of that is a very nice earn.
Well,
5% off the top, and then whatever pat on the back you might end up with walking away from.
What's Chain of Lightning's in the market too at 480. Jamie Carr's riding the Golden Eagle too. So
yeah, certainly, and $10 into 480 as well, Jimmy. So obviously, very, very well supported.
Yeah. Okay.
The Moody Stable are one that do like to have a bet.
So the. Not only do we know there's money on, but we know where it's coming from. Well spotted, Jared, on that one. All right, I'm going to go back down to Flemington. Race 4, number 10, Queen Air, lightly raced filly on the 7-day QBU. That's the quick backup, Jared. Into the Wakeful, run last week at the Valley, outstanding, flashed home. It is around about the 9.50 mark, I think, Tristan, is what currently the offer is from Top Sport. So $9.50, $3.10 the place, the all-important staking plan, as you know. So I'll go fitty-fitty. If I could go $50 each way on Queen Air Race 4.
There we go. So that's that. I know there's a lot of the team at Racing New South Wales that listen to our great show, and the air just came completely out of their tyres. They've put on a $10 million race. They've got Jamie Carter riding Sydney. They've got Huey Bowman to head down to Sydney. And the most important cog in the wheel, Jimmy Smith, has had his bet in Melbourne. So there we go. All the listeners take note. That is race 4, number 10, Queen Air at Flemington.
All well, right. Not only have those power to be at Racing New South Wales just fallen off their chair, but so has Lindsay Smith now that he knows that Jimmy's all over Queen Air. Very astute trainer, very good yard. Gee, he's got a little bit to carry now.
Now, here's the other thing, gentlemen, that I think you need to be aware of too. Thoughts and prayers with the connections of King's Trust, which is currently sixth emergency in the highway. So it's a very confident yard at the moment. So we have got good weather due, maybe a little rain around this afternoon. That's Thursday afternoon. Good weather Friday, good weather Saturday. I don't know where we're going to get too many scratchings for this one. So I don't like our chances of going around. Don't worry, though. I have got my owner's tickets already sorted out.
I don't think the percentage of scratchings on Derby Day is generally too high, regardless of the weather, Jimmy. But if you've got your owner's tickets, that's half the battle. So it'll be a very enjoyable day out there, I'm tipping, and you'll be tuned into the TV screen on race 4 at Flemington.
Mate,
King's Trust will retire as a 9-year-old gelding, having had 84 starts and probably 54 of them in highways, I think, Jimmy.
Well, we win one more, that's it. We're excluded. So, yeah. But no one's won more prize money. No one's run as many times in the highway, but no one's run one more prize money. Hey, apparently there's a race on Tuesday as well, the race that stops the nation. You better give us your thoughts on that, Tristan, what the market's been up to. Give us all the latest for the punters.
Yeah, so this morning, just before we were filming this on the Thursday morning, and unfortunately, Durston, the Caulfield Cup winner, just came out of the race, which is a little bit disappointing for connections. It was obviously right in there as a competitive hope. Duval Legend is the firm favourite, $4.80. It's been very, very well backed with us in from, we've got an average dividend at this stage of $8.50. So the punters have certainly found it. 20-1 was the highest price we bet back in July, and punters have backed it from 20s into 14s into 10s and now into $4.80. So it's a clear favourite. Loft is $6.50. It's another one that's been very well supported. It was 100-1 back in June. It's firmed up from 100-1 into 17 into 16 and now into the 650 second favourite. Without a Fight has been one that we've actually dodged. It's the 950 third pick. It was 40-1 for a while and it firmed up into 14 quite quickly, but we haven't taken that much activity on it just yet. Mondophilia 12, Gold Trip 13, and Luna Flare at 18. Now, the one that we've got a very awkward position on is Kimora. Some of the connections of Kimora that may have accounted with us, they suggested when they secured the horse a number of months ago and brought it over here, they managed to secure the nice $61 that was available at the same time. So it's into $20, which puts us in a little awkward position with our dividend there, but we're going to take a lot of activity between now and then. So it'll be interesting to see what the book looks like as we get closer to jump. But yeah, certainly a pretty wide open field, a lot different to what it was this time last year with incentivized very, very firm.
I personally think it's probably one of the weakest Melbourne Cup fields I have looked at for many, many years. And the two internationals at the top of the market in Deville Legend and Loft, if they're half right and ready to go on Tuesday, my goodness, I think the two of them absolutely dominate the race. Go back and look at Loft's last run when it won the Belmont Gold Cup on turf, over 3,200 metres in, I think it was New York at Belmont. It's a French international, lightly raced with European Group 1 form. It was probably 12 lengths off the lead last, coming to the 600, over 3,200 metres and won by two or three lengths eased down. It picked them up, gave them a cold and went away. Now, it might not have beat a lot, but it's lightly raced with a very strong rating profile for a 3,200 metre race. And then Deville Legend with a very astute trainer who is now out on his own. It's owned by Mr. Ho of Classic Legend fame. Who's targeted this race, and it's in English form is just outstanding. Yet to run past, I think, 25 or 2600, but it does look like it's certainly bred to give this a shake, and the form around it Two internationals for mine. I thought if you Dutch booked the two of them at 5 and 6.50 thereabouts, I think you're probably in the queue on Tuesday. Well, if one of them wins, I certainly will be.
Oh, there's tickets flying around everywhere, aren't there, on the Tuesday? You've got about six runners going for you in about eight different ways, and it's a fantastic day, a great day for the occasional punter, and a great day for the serious punter as well. For what it's worth, gentlemen, a horse that has travelled a little bit of a forgive run last up, but a very good second in the Caulfield Cup, has run 9,940 metres this preparation, so 60 metres short of the famous Bart Cummings 10,000 metres. Gold Trip at $13 will be the horse that I'll be backing in this year's Melbourne Cup with about seven others. So there you go.
I certainly think Gold Trip is a big chance in the race. And from my end, it looks a really, I probably agree with Jared's sentiment that it maybe isn't the strongest race we've seen. The one I'm probably looking for, and I'm almost doing it a little bit on spec, is a horse at $18, Young Werther. It had massive booms on it this time last preparation, or probably 2 weeks earlier into the campaign. And unfortunately, a few things went wrong with Young Werther last year, and it's come back. And I think it's just starting to come back into a little bit of form. So I'm sort of relying on a bit of where I feel there might be a bit of perceived upside based on the wraps and my sort of interpretation that might not be the strongest cup we've seen in a long time. So I'm just going to have something, I'm always looking for a little bit of value when we're bookmaking. We'll be putting the favourites in for quite a bit on cup day. So I'm just going to keep our foot on Young Werther at the $18.
All right, gentlemen, I think there's something for everyone there. A big weekend of Rugby League World Cup, final week three of the pool matches. We've got incredible racing on Saturday and, of course, on Tuesday. We all hope that you find a winner. And thanks again, boys. We'll do it again next week.
Guys.
Take care, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.